You know, just to let you know, the bad thing about a pastor being having all prepared for Sunday and then all of a sudden his wife has COVID and then he can't preach is that he's got all the next week to work on that message again. And so I normally have about 6 pages. I have 9. So strap in because we got to try to get through 9 pages today. And I'm going to try and do that and within an hour. So let's get going. We are in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. This passage, I had always planned on preaching in 2 or 3 weeks. So we aren't going to get all the way through it, but I wanted to get the whole context of this passage. The title of the message is Gospel Preaching Often Brings Opposition. Gospel preaching often brings opposition or two different reactions to the gospel. You will get at least 2 different reactions to the gospel. So first we're going to look at Paul's message in verses 2 and 3. Paul's message, and it says there in verses 2, starting verse 1, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preached unto you, is Christ. So first, we're going to look at Paul's message. Paul's message was particularly suited for those that he was speaking to. As his custom was, whenever possible, he would go into the synagogues in the communities where he stopped to minister. We're not told why he skipped through some communities and went to others. Some believe that is because he passed through smaller communities and he wanted to go to the larger, more established cities. And then from there, the gospel would reach out. Many missionaries today, they want to do, that is the goal, to go to the cities and then reach to the smaller communities after that. You know, in the past, missions has been a lot of times done opposite from that. We've sent missionaries out to the small communities, into the jungle and that. But missionaries are more and more going to the cities, more and more going to those areas that you can reach on a larger scale. It could be these communities did not have a synagogue. And Paul's normal decision was to go to the synagogues. And it could be he just passed by these smaller communities because there was no synagogue there. For whatever reason, it says that Paul passed through these 2 other communities. His message to the synagogue at Thessalonica was meant for those that already had some scriptural knowledge. So he knows when he's going to synagogues, these people already have scriptural knowledge. So under Paul's message, we see Paul's gospel message included scripture. That seems kind of obvious, but some people lose that. Paul, notice it says, Paul reasoned with them out of the daily bread. Well, maybe, but he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. So when Paul went to the synagogue, he opened the scriptures unto them. It is the word of God that we must proclaim if people are going to be saved. We cannot trust in our reason or even our, you know, there's the popularity of lifestyle evangelism. We can't depend on our lifestyle to save somebody. Our lifestyle may be attract somebody to ask questions, but we can't plan on reason or just our lifestyle for salvation. Paul reasoned with them from the scriptures. We are told to preach the word, as Paul told Timothy, told to preach the word. It's the word of God that saves, God uses to save the lost. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So it's the word of God. It's the gospel. So when witnessing, we can't leave Scripture out. We can't just say, hey, you need to be saved, or do you believe? What do I believe? Oh, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Oh, good, you're saved. I made the mistake of just asking somebody that this week. Are you a believer? Yep. And then when I was done, I was like, well, what does she believe? You know, I should have been more specific on what, but I'm going to go back because I asked them to come to church and they told them what services we had and they seemed interested. So they own a business. So I'm going to go back to the business and try and talk to them again and ask more specific questions. What are you trusting in for your salvation? So that's why we had Scripture's important if we're going to give the gospel. If we're going to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, Scripture is important. And that's why we had you memorize the passage in Romans known as the Romans Road. In fact, Jim, got to tell you something. Next week, we're starting again on the Romans Road because I think probably some of us have already forgotten those verses. Some of you know them and have had them down for years. But I want to make sure we're going through Acts and we're going through these passages that talk about witnessing. And I think some of you are actually thinking, I should be witnessing to others more. And so I want to make sure that we have that tool of knowing Scripture. So next week, we're going to start back and start going through the Romans Road again. We're going to start next week with that. Jim's now, he has his warning on what we're going to do. So he's got 1 week in advance to start memorizing that again. But how many of you could go through the Romans Road if you needed to without your Bible? And many people could not go through the Romans Road without their Bible. And so what I want us to do in memorizing those scriptures, and, you know, I have a lot of verses that I have memorized, but, you know, sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, let me think about that. Let me get that into my head. Okay, yeah, I can say it. We need to have the Romans Road memorized in the way that it's just automatic. It can just come out, you know, even under pressure. Because what do we tend to do under pressure? We forget the things we have memorized. And we need to have it memorized so good that even under pressure, it's just there. And so that's my goal in going back to it, is that every one of you who has that desire to be a witness, that we're trying to help you with the tools that you need to be a witness. Okay, so if you have that desire, maybe last time you kind of memorized those verses, but you really didn't get them down. We're giving you another chance to get those verses. So work on them throughout the week. You can start now being prepared for Sunday so that when you have those opportunities like Paul had to reason with somebody out of the Scriptures, you have some scriptures right up here that they're just there and you can just bring them out at any moment's notice. So just those of you who are keeping track, that's page one. Okay, 9 pages. No, you get the idea. Let's keep going here. So I don't want you to be worried about that though. I want you to be thinking, what does God, who can I witness to this week? And I want to get those passages down so that I can be. So Paul used scripture. The first point was Paul used under Paul's message. Paul used Paul's gospel message included scripture, and then Paul used the scripture to convince. Notice Luke says that Paul was opening and alleging. To open just really means to explain. He opened the scriptures and explained. Luke uses the same word when Jesus was speaking. Remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus? They're leaving after Christ's death, and they're leaving. They're all in shock after Christ has died, and Christ meets these disciples on the road to Emmaus. And that same word is used by Jesus in Luke 24, verse 32, and he says this, "And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures." So in Luke 24:32, Jesus opened the scriptures. In other words, he was explaining the meaning of the scriptures, kind of what we do when we are, what I do when I'm preaching the word of God. It means to explain the sense of the passage. So Paul's going into the synagogue, he's going to the scriptures, and he's preaching or he's teaching and he's explaining to them what these Old Testament passages mean. It was also used in Luke 24:45. It says, talking about Jesus again, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And Jesus had spoken unto them the scriptures and helped them to understand its real meaning." It also says that Paul was opening and alleging, meaning to demonstrate or set something before the people. So he's opening the picture, the scripture, and he's just setting it before them. This is what the scripture means here. This is what it means. See this here? And so he's demonstrating it to the people. What did Paul open and allege? Next, Paul used the Old Testament to demonstrate Jesus is the scriptural Messiah, verse number 3, opening alleging that Christ must needs had suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is the Christ. So he was opening and alleging and demonstrating that Jesus Christ is the scriptural Messiah. So he's, remember, he's speaking to Jews and to Gentiles that were God-fearers. So all these people had a knowledge of scripture. Paul's just trying to open to them what they already believed in. They believed in the scriptures. He's just explaining those scriptures to them. So what they already really believe in, they get the real sense of it. Okay, they get the real understanding. And really that's what I try to do every Sunday. I might not do that perfectly, but that's the goal of preaching, is to open and show the scriptures. So many of these Jews believed in the scriptures, and his task was to convince them of that. Our task may be different today. Our approach may have to be different. That does not mean we do not use the scripture. It's still the power of God unto salvation. But One obvious reason why Paul went into the synagogues first was because there were people with a common belief. It may be helpful, if you want to witness, to start with people with a common belief. There may be people that you know that are not Christians, but you know they believe in the Bible in some way. They have some amount of understanding of the scripture. You know, they're a religious people, and they're religious in the sense that they believe in Jesus. And I'm not saying that's going to be easy for you to reach, but at least you have a common belief, and you can do the same thing that Paul did. You can open and allege from the scriptures who Jesus is. They already may believe in Jesus. They already may believe in the scriptures, and you can open and allege to them the scriptures. Each person group that you deal with, you might have to have a different approach. You might have to have a different approach with somebody who doesn't believe in the Bible, who has no understanding of the Bible. I'm not going to get into the different ways because I have way too much to go through today, but each person, you've got to kind of figure out where they're at and try to bring them from where they are to understanding that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the one who died on the cross to pay the penalty for their sins. So your task then is like Paul's: help them see what Scripture teaches about salvation. So there are three truths that Paul taught them from the Old Testament Scriptures. Three truths that Paul taught them from the Old Testament Scriptures. Number one, Christ had to suffer. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 53. How many of you are worried what page I'm on? Okay. Isaiah 53. This section actually starts in Isaiah 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard, they heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him a tender plant and a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall many righteous servant justify many? Shall my righteous servant justify many? For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So the Jews have tried to take this passage and say that, oh, this was referring to Isaiah, or this was referring to Jeremiah. Another popular way that the Jews tried to explain away this passage is that it speaks of the Jewish people as a whole. However, anyone, as a Christian, and hopefully you are a Christian if you're here today. If not, we would love to talk to you about how you need to be saved. But anyone who knows the story of Jesus' life, his death, his burial, and resurrection can just, it's just plain as day that this is speaking about Jesus Christ and his suffering. And Psalm 22, verse 6 through 8, I'll just read through there quickly. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. And they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. So we're not told what scriptures, what Old Testament, obviously we know Old Testament scriptures that Paul, you can turn back to Acts, that Paul used during his preaching when he was opening and alleging that Jesus must needs have suffered. We're not told what scriptures, but if he took 3 weeks opening and alleging, it's just to be unbelievable if he didn't go to Isaiah 53 and he didn't go to Psalm 22. So the idea that he had to get through to them was that their Messiah suffered, had to suffer. Jesus made this point when speaking, we're going back to the road to Emmaus, and he made the same point to the disciples. See, even his disciples, Jesus had to bring this point out to them. They didn't understand it either. They'd spent all this time with him. He had warned them that he's going to die and suffer, but they still didn't understand it. In Luke 24, 25 through 27, it says this, "Then said he unto them, O fools," he's calling his disciples, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So the Lord just gets, what's he doing again? Paul is doing exactly what the Lord did. When the Lord wanted to help the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they're leaving dejected after his death. He explains to them, what's he do? He just reasons with them. No, he opens up the scriptures and he speaks to them out of the scriptures. And Jesus did the same thing. He just opened them and showed them the scriptures. How do we convince people about who Jesus Christ is? We open and allege out of the scriptures. That is how people, the Lord uses the scriptures, uses us, but he uses us with the scriptures, and his Holy Spirit works through that. Peter also made this point in the message to the people after healing the lame man. In Acts 3:18, we've gone to that. We went to that quite a while ago. But it says, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets." Notice, both Jesus and Peter basically say, this is all throughout the prophets. This isn't just something that's localized. This message of a suffering servant, the suffering Messiah, it's scattered from Moses all through the prophets. You can go to all of these and find the suffering servant. So Peter again says, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." Paul's point is that Jesus fulfilled what the prophets had already proclaimed. And he was opening and alleging that the scriptures clearly speak of a suffering Messiah. And for the Jews, this is probably the key argument that he had to help them to understand. The idea that Jesus would suffer. This is probably the main point. If he could get them to see that the Messiah had to suffer, the rest would not be a hard step. It's getting them past the idea that, because in their minds, the Messiah was going to be somebody who's going to come in and deliver the Jewish nation from Rome and from all their enemies. And he's going to come in on a white charging horse with his sword and going to kill all his enemies. And that's what they were looking for. And when Jesus came and taught and preached and healed and proved who he was through all that he did and then died on the cross, it just shattered their impression of what Messiah would be. And so he had to take, just like Jesus did on the road to Emmaus, when these disciples, they're in their mind, everything that they thought had shattered, and Jesus goes and teaches them through the word of God what the truth was. Now Paul is doing the same thing. You see, if we are going to win people the Lord, we need to do it scripturally. Well, how did Jesus convince people? How did Paul convince people? They opened and alleged from the word of God. If he could get them to accept the truth of a suffering Messiah, the rest would not be hard to believe. So he taught them that Messiah had to suffer. He also taught them that Christ rose again from the dead. Notice opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is the Christ. So, he taught them that Christ rose from the dead. From a human standpoint, that's a major miracle, right? We don't see people risen from the dead. It's a major, major miracle. But for those who believed the Old Testament, it was not beyond. That's why the suffering idea is the main thing, because if they believe the Old Testament, there are three examples in the Old Testament of people being raised from the dead. The prophet Elijah prays and God raised a young boy from death in 1 Kings. Elisha raises the son of the woman of Shunem in 2 Kings. And then a dead man's body that was thrown into Elisha's tomb is resurrected when the body touches Elisha's bones in 2 Kings. So those who believed the Old Testament wouldn't have had a problem believing that Jesus would rise from the dead. If he's truly the Messiah, it's that idea of suffering we got to get by. Raising from the dead isn't a big deal if you already believe that God can do that. So Paul would later write to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, 1 Thessalonians, Paul would have written that not too long after he left. And we're going to get to him leaving. We haven't got to everything here yet. But he's going to leave here in a little bit. And Paul's going to write 1 Thessalonians probably a short time later. All right? So in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, this is all fresh in his mind the time he spent there. It says this, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus Christ will God bring with him." So the death, burial, and resurrection are part of the gospel message, and it's part of what we should be proclaiming. 1 Corinthians 15:34, "For I delivered unto you," says this, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." And then he also taught that Jesus is Messiah. So the point of Paul's message is Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Page 5. Only 4 more to go. But lucky for you, I'm at a major break in my message. And I'm not going to keep you here till 20 or 25 after to finish the rest today. So what can we take from this for us today? How well do we know the scriptures? Do we know the scriptures well enough that when we meet somebody and talk to others, that we can take the Bible and open and allege who our Savior is? Do we know the Bible well enough to do that? One reason we're going to go through the Romans road again is so that we can do that. However, memorizing the Romans road is just the beginning. It's just a starting point. People are going to have maybe other questions. And I know some of you know the Bible well enough that you can just go and open it up and say, well, oh, but the Bible says here this. And some of us don't have as good memories. That just means I give up, right? Do you have a good memory? I have a terrible memory. That means I should just give up, right? I can't ever witness to anybody because I can't remember anything. You know what that means for those of us who don't have a good memory? Who can help us with the things that we've tried hard to learn but have a hard time remembering? God's Holy Spirit. Over and over again in the book of Acts, Paul is said to be filled with the Spirit. So the number one tool we study hard to know the scriptures so that we can open and allege. But we also are striving daily to be surrendered and filled with the Spirit. As I believe the reason the church is so, not just our church, but the church as a whole, is so weak when it comes to winning people the Lord, is there are very, very few Christians that are filled with the Spirit. There are very few Christians that daily ask God, Lord, I want to surrender to you. I want you to guide me and direct me today. And Lord, I want you to take all, Lord, I've got sins in my life, and I just want you to help me to draw closer to you, to love you more. We have a wonderful Savior in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I just implore you to decide today that, Lord, just to first, number one, tell the Lord, Lord, forgive me for not being prepared to give the gospel. If maybe maybe that's not you, but if you're not prepared, forgive me, Lord, for not being prepared to spread the gospel. Lord, help me to have the fortitude to just go and start to learn the scriptures. And then three, Lord, help me to be filled with your Spirit. And then four, Lord, help me to be a witness. Help me to reach out to those people. And, you know, for some of you, that means starting to prepare. Starting to be ready. Where are you on that spectrum? Maybe you're already there. All of us can learn more. Where are you? We serve a wonderful Savior who loves us and cares for us, but he also loves who? For God so loved the world, all those that are not saved. We need to be active in helping to reach those as well. Lord, help us today. For Lord, we are often negligent servants. Father, we either are not prepared to spread the gospel, or we're too afraid to spread the gospel, or we're just too wrapped up in our own self to spread the gospel. Lord, there are those here today that I believe your word has worked in their heart. And Lord, they do have a desire to change and to become more Christ-like and be a better witness. And I pray that you would help each one that feels that way, that has been convicted by your Spirit to start to change. I pray that you would help them to be motivated and, Lord, to start to take some time each day to work toward those goals. Father, for those who are listening today and just really don't care, I pray that you would help them to examine their heart. Lord, if we don't even care about spreading the gospel, we should consider whether or not we are even a Christian. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each person, wherever they are in that spectrum, to honestly inspect their heart. Lord, we pray if there are those here that aren't saved, that you would help them to see their need of salvation. I pray that you'd help them to humble themselves. There are people that may have proclaimed to be saved for years that aren't, and they just need to humble themselves and be willing to say, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. All of us who are saved were there at one time. And I pray that you would open hearts to whatever their need is today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.